Patriots. Let's begin with our public service announcements. Top of the list, Bard's Fest, 26 August to 29 August. Big updates coming this week on the website. We got two venues, Family Arena and Outdoor, and the Drive-In Theater, Drive-In St. Louis, 3 miles apart. Great venues. That tickets for the Outdoor venue go on sale hopefully Friday, is what we're talking about now. Could be as late as Monday. Family Arena tickets are on sale now. Lots more information coming up on the website, including daily schedules. All that will be up by Friday. We're working on it around the clock right now. So it's big stuff, good stuff, and I think you'll be very, very happy. Our team is working literally around the clock. So lots to do, lots of things to put together in a very short amount of time, and I think we're going to be very successful. Public service announcement number two. Dr. Tenpenny is having her course, her online course on the 20 ways that the bioweapon will kill you. That's happening. It's a very good course with all of her research. That's happening on Saturday, the July 10th. And that can be found at drtenpenny, drtenpenny.com. You can RSVP. There's a fee for that course. It's an outstanding course and worth every dime. We need to be armed with all the knowledge we can as we try to combat this fake narrative and this attempt to try to get more people injected, especially as this insidious hand puppet of an administration tries to push door to door to try to force people to get injected. And public service number three, which is Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Mike Lindell and MyPillow have now contributed over $50,000 to Bard's Fest. And it just keeps going. It's fantastic. They're a great company, amazing support from them. Mike is just such an amazing CEO and patriot, using so much of his company's resources to continue to build a fight against the deep state for election integrity and also find out who the foreign interference is. We want to keep our prayers up for him too, because he's right on the front line of that. He builds his company on the philosophies of giving and the way Christ asks him to. He uses his wealth for many, many things. And all that is giving back to America, and that's in so many different forms. And so if you use your code, the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, you get on over there, buy some My Slippers, buy some My Sheets, pillows, My Comforters. They've got great products, and I have a lot of them. I have the comforter, I have the sheets, I have the pillows, I've got the towels, I've got the My Slippers. Probably need to get a, I don't wear bathrobes, so I'm not going to do a bathrobe. That just doesn't do me at all. So anyway, probably get some more sheets or something. They're awesome. And the sheets are super, super comfortable, and so are the pillows. I mean, it's like stunningly comfortable. It's kind of wild. So get on over there to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and give some love to one of the greatest companies in America and definitely one of the most patriotic CEOs we've had in history. So it's fantastic. Patriots, I want to talk a little bit tonight about this time that we're in and the challenges that we face. And to keep some lines very, very clear with people, I'm going to give you some experience from a war zone and what I've seen in war and what I can start seeing happening. And I'm seeing it happening a lot, actually, in this time. And what that is there's a, in the intensity of a conflict, people turn to needing to find support with one another. On one level, when you're in conflict, you build amazing, amazing friendships. And they're friendships that are deep and they're different. And they're almost like blood brothers when you go through experiences with people. You feel it like that too. I mentioned one of my close friends, Eric Blake. He was a staff sergeant. Actually, I think he was a sergeant first class at the time. He and I and another good friend were together in Afghanistan in a very difficult week. We were surrounded by three Taliban factions. One of them was the Haqqani faction, which happens to be one of the nastiest. They had Chechen advisors with them and Chechen snipers. And it was just a rough week of getting the heck pounded out of us with three of us and about 30 Afghan army soldiers, most of which were, every time we got hit, they would run into their huts and hide and shiver. With the exception of a few, and a few of them were just unbelievably courageous. I mean, straight up warrior cut, so that was awesome. But anyway, went through a pretty rough week, and we got hit every single night. We were nearly out of water, nearly out of food, nearly out of ammo. And we got to the final night and really didn't think that we were going to make it through, to be very honest. We had already, we had had a, what we called our final supper. And we, all three of us had, I remember very clearly, because we, the Afghans had brought in a water buffalo, and we had roasted water buffalo with fresh cooked flatbread. And we had it on the, we sat there and ate our dinner on the hood of a Humvee. And we all said goodbye to one another. That's how serious a night it was. I actually recorded a message home to my parents, and they handwrote notes home. We didn't expect to get out. We had a route we call an exfil route. We had spent all that day building reinforcements, knowing that it was going to come down to about five of us to fight our way out of about 100 Taliban. That's what we expected. And it looked that gloomy up to the very point of, we were watching the Taliban fighters assemble right in front of us. And then, as God would have it, like right at the last minute, and I'm not kidding you, I mean, it was literally right at the last minute, we heard the crackle on the radio, and it was call out to us. And it was letting us know that they were 5 miles out, and we could see them. And they had three flat tires on the rig, and there was a convoy coming in, and they came in force, and we didn't even know they were coming, and saved the day. But that's a, those type of moments transform you, and they build incredible bonds, and bonds that are deeper than I can express in words. Eric Blake committed suicide in January of 2012. And it was one of the hardest losses I've ever been through. It was, he was a good soldier, man. I was going to see him that week too. And I've mentioned this a number of times, but he was one of the, he had just been nominated as the best soldier in the state of Washington in the National Guard. Best NCO. And whatever happened at home, I don't know and I don't want to know, but something went awry and he is carrying a lot of weight. And Eric was a perfectionist. He was an amazing, he had dropped out of high school and got his GED, but as a guy who had his GED, he joined the Rangers. He spoke five languages, German, English, Pashtun was one of his languages, and two others. I don't remember what they were. And he had self-taught him, he had taught himself all those languages. He was an absolute perfectionist in every single thing he did. I'm very happy to say that in the coming, the second film, my second film, there's a whole part of Eric dedicated to Eric in there. Anyway, it's hard. My point is that when you lose somebody like that, and we didn't know each other that long in Afghanistan. We actually never even knew each other before we spent that week together. But when you have somebody like that in your life, I mean, that's truly a bond that you carry for the rest of your life. And that's a sense of what I would call true agape love, because there's such an amazing, either one of us would have given our lives for each other and not even questioned it. But it was such a respect, and there was also so much respect for boundaries. So I'm bringing this story up tonight because there are, what also happens in conflict, and it always happens between men and women, is that the boundaries get blurred and the agape love becomes more of a corporal love. And people confuse that respect for one another with an emotional love. And as they say, never, ever fall in love when you're in a combat zone, because it's the wrong motives. You're each seeking the wrong thing. And in truth, what is happening is people are seeking the comfort of God, but replacing it with the comfort of each other. Instead of finding Christ to be the ultimate love, we turn and we find each other to be that physical comfort, when all along, all it is Christ we're seeking, but we're filling it with a human being. And that's something that what people don't realize right now, and is in this environment, this is happening everywhere across the country right now. We are in a war, and people are having a hard time understanding. First of all, many are having a hard time realizing that it is a war. The intensities and the emotions of the war are very real. And in so doing, they're seeking comfort with others. The only true comfort you're ever going to get is a relationship with God in Christ. That is the only comfort that is true and pure. And when you follow that through and you leave the war and everything settles down, then perhaps God will put somebody in your life. But if you're going to be in this fight and truly be pure in this, what this fight is, and this is a spiritual fight, you cannot let your heart get weak and confuse the idea of corporate love and agape love. You have to be very clear. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to do in the middle of a war zone. I would say it's probably impossible. And unfortunately, everybody's in the middle of a war zone right now. They don't believe it because the COVID pieces are being removed and people feel like they're all free and out hugging each other and hurrah, hurrah, we've beat the evil thing. But this thing is just getting heated up. And it's only going to get worse. And I'm not prophesizing doom. I'm just looking at what I'm seeing coming at us. And so it's really essential that we get very clear in our hearts what it is that we're needing. And it's one of those places, like myself, I've been through several relationships. And I'm definitely, when you go to like successes in your life and is your relationship category the success, mine is not. Let's just be clear. And a lot of that comes from a simple fact that I was chasing the wrong thing. And in particular, when you get, I had a relationship that went on for a long time that started in a war zone, though it started by distance. And it was a big mistake. And it carried with me for a long time, meaning I was in that relationship for a long time. And I was attached to it for the wrong reasons. Because what tends to happen in the intensity of the moment when we get very emotionally bound up in the fight and we're struggling and we're feeling we needing that nurturing, instead of turning to Christ and we turn to that other person, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's some sort of a spiritual imprint that gets put on us, and it's not good. And to break free from that is a lot of work, because we end up getting ourselves trapped in some of these vicious cycles. And part of it is that in the war zone, there is a viciousness anyway of a cycle of intensity, of adrenaline. So you don't have a choice in this. In a world war zone, you are moving from adrenaline high to adrenaline lows all the time, and you're peaking and valleying all the time. So any sort of relationship that you build is built on that momentum. Laura Logan's a good example of someone. I'm not spreading dirty laundry. This is just a known fact. I mean, she fell in love with a guy from Blackwater in the middle of Iraq and got pregnant in the middle of a war zone. I mean, this is the sort of crazy stuff that goes on, and it never works out. It never does. So I'm just passing on tonight just kind of my own experience and my own stories about this, because I hope that this wisdom can pass on to people a bit. It's a dangerous time for relationships to be started. It's a dangerous time to be vulnerable in your heart when you're seeking and you're not seeking God. I am one, and it was funny because it goes back about 6 months now. Somebody put a question on one of our Q&As. Am I married? And I really got offended by the question, but I'm going to answer this question in a different way right now than I did then. And the answer is, no, I'm not married. The second answer is, I will never be in a relationship again. The third answer to that is, I gave my heart to Christ in a pure and 100% way, and I seek nothing else but that love and relationship with Christ. End of story. That's who I am. And I say that because, unfortunately, when you're doing a show like this, you get people that have misinterpreted that. And it inflames me to no degree, because it's a boundary crossing that is unacceptable. So I'm being very clear here, but I'm also being clear to you of why. What I discovered in my relationship journey including that I had started by distance in a war zone, is all the motives were always wrong. I was trying to fill an emptiness in my heart that only one relationship could fill. And that was a relationship with Christ and through Christ to the Father. And I am completely satisfied with where I walk, and I enjoy and have learned to enjoy the beauty of walking by myself in this world with that relationship with Christ and Father. And there's so much there. That isn't for everybody. And I'm not suggesting that it is. But it is a principle of really appreciating in that walk the power of agape love, which is this ultimate type of love of respect for all things. And it is too easy when we talk about agape to fall and confuse agape with something else. And it's corporal love is a very treacherous thing. If you look around at the world that we're in, the physical love is everything that this world is about. And it's always dirty. It's sexual. It's manipulative. It's underhanded. It's physical touching. It's all these things that we don't need as beings just to fulfill our hearts. That's not to say people don't need interaction and social interaction. There's a lot of discussion about that. That depends on the person, okay? But in time of high intensity culturally across the world and across the place, across our globe, everybody's feeling the pressure and people are all reacting different ways. You're going to get people that are in depression. You're going to get people that are trying to commit suicide. You're going to get, and all of these sorts of things build up for fear. But if we're having true love with the Lord, there is no fear. And that fear that we feel too often is the fear of being alone. And that's the irony of the whole thing, is that nobody is alone when you have Christ in your heart. Nobody is. It's powerful. And this is a place where we have to find that path. If we're going to truly take that step away from where we are, we have to find that path where Christ is so strong and bold within our heart that nothing wavers us. When we don't have Christ in our heart, relationships end up being codependent or some sort of inverted craziness that goes on. And I mean that in a broad sense too. And it is a big sweeping brush to say that, but there's a lot of truth to it. Because when one is trying to fill the other with their heart and what they each offer and try to fill themselves out to make themselves complete, there's this constant cycle of one wanting to take from the other and the other wanting to push into the other. And it's an imbalance. It creates kind of a vicious spin and everybody ends up in a mess. And the problem when we get into environments like we're in, which this is a war zone, we are living through a war. The difference only is that you don't see the soldiers running down the street, and hopefully you don't. But that war and that massive pressure is putting people in a place of having to feel lonely. They feel the gaps. They feel the fears. They feel the anxiety. That's a big one. And when we feel that, we seek comfort. And unfortunately, we don't turn where we should. We too quickly turn to another person rather than turning to God. God is there. In fullness, God is there. And in truth, to really get to know that, there is a pain in that moment, so I find it's necessary. We have to almost live alone for a bit with God to feel the letting go of what we had as expectations of what are nothing more than corporal love, to embrace the beauty and fullness of what is agape love. We have to strip away from those things because the corporal love is very, very physically driven by emotions and the neurochemistry that's within our body. When you have a corporal love, it is a process of adrenaline, dopamine, serotonin, all these peaks of emotions. And depending on how that relationship is, it can be, if you're both very solid in where you're coming from, it can be a very level relationship. But if that relationship is where one person is weak in one place, another person is weak in another, and you're pulling from one another to try to fill those, you'll end up in these cycles, which is adrenaline peaks and valleys, dopamine peaks and valleys, serotonin peaks and valleys. Well, that's racking your brain chemistry all over the place. And unfortunately, where do we want to be when we get there? We start to ride the peaks. We start to seek the adrenaline, which because with adrenaline, we get the dopamine, which is this great calming. And we get addicted to ourself. That's the problem. And those emotions, those emotions are very, very similar to fear, by the way. If you track the neurochemistry of fear and you track the neurochemistry of a dysfunctional relationship or an imbalanced relationship, you're going to find that those two things are very, very similar. So it isn't far to look to appreciate how much is in Scripture about this very thing and about the warnings of love and what love is. One of these places is 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm actually going to begin at 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's agape. That is just so far above any sort of physical touch or relationship because it's the appreciation for all things. Continuing, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child and thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I grew up childish ways. I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. It's a wonderful passage and really puts deeply within us that respect for agape love of all things, to respect, cherish, and be part of all things without any sort of other emotions attached. The problem with corporal love is that when we get into corporal love, it becomes an attachment of emotion, and agape is not. Agape is this appreciation for all things. And as we go through that process, we learn to appreciate that relationship with God so much more deeply. So in this period of time when you're in and people are struggling and there's a lot of emotions, and I say this from many, many different angles. One of those is there's many people in need right now. And they are in need. They're fearful of what's happening. This world is collapsing around them. Some are awaking to the fact that they took the injection they shouldn't have. Others are still struggling with the reality of what's actually going on. I just had a conversation at the bank today, making sure that everyone in the bank heard that the PRC tests were false. Had to add that piece. I think I irritated the teller. That's okay. She was really grumpy at me after I told her that. But anyway, I think she took the injection, which was even better. But anyway, but in the process of this, having this conversation, it is a slow awakening of people realizing that this entire event was a scam. None of them that I was talking to had taken the injection, and yet somehow this, as they're slowly percolating up, they're awakening to something's not right, something's off. Well, as they continue to move here, you know that these people are going to start being, there's going to be a lot of shock and awe that comes with that. In addition to that, is imagine if you have taken the injection and what that sort of shock and awe will be like. That place right there with people is where suddenly that neediness jumps in because they're seeking comfort. They need you to comfort them. They need you to guide them, cling on to you. They hang on to your coattails. That isn't for you to do. And that is a place where we have to allow them to walk to find their way. We can steward them, guide them, shepherd them, however words you want to use. But they can't hang on to your coattails. Because if they do, you're going to go down with them. And that's that vicious cycle again of corporal love. Because once it gets in there, there's going to be this conflict and this argument. It's always going to happen. And so it is the place that we can't let our empathy and we can't let our hearts tread too deeply into the emotional side of this that is the more the corporal love side where you start to deeply emotionalize what they're doing. We are stewards and we are shepherds for where they are. We can appreciate the place they're in, but we have to show them where to go. And that sort of very neutral place is the beauty of what is said in 1 Corinthians 13:4 again. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. So key to that. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So then as we're reminded of what this ultimate part is, because what we're trying to do ourselves as we work with others, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. That's the awakening. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have fully known. It's always been within us to know. And that's the greatest part of the awakening, is to realize that all of that within us was there. And as we touch that and that agape part of love, we become fulfilled. And it is truly a fulfilling moment where we step past the emotions and we let it all go. There is no equation to make this happen. And I think that's the one thing that very often people seek is how. But the one place I will say is a beginning is to spend time alone and to spend wonderful time alone with God and in Christ, both in your private meditations and in your prayers, but also in the world. To be comfortable walking in the world and having those conversations with God, to see just how amazing God is everywhere. Not to fill ourselves with noise, to sometimes just shut it all off. I will tell you that it is one of the greatest things that keeps me going. A couple of things. When running is one of them. Working out is one of them. I love to work in the garden, and I love the physical work of the garden because it's just me. Nothing else is there. There's no static. There's no noise. And I love to do road trips just by myself driving. Just there. Your head's in it. You're just enjoying, you're letting God, and you have a conversation. There's no noise, there's no radio on, there's nothing. Phone's off, hopefully thrown in the glove box and turned off. You know, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. And when we get to those places, they're truly healing and they're amazing. But when we're going all the time and we're shuttling, especially in this fight, it's so easy to do because we get wrapped up in the pace of events. And even for us, like on this team that we're in building Bard's Fest, I'm going to tell you that the pace is crazy right now. But even within that, we all have to find that time with God to step back, to step away and let God also do his work. And that's the other part about this, is we get going such in such a frenetic way, we can't hear God. We start to fill our hearts with this panic or emptiness we're trying to fill with other things. And in those moments, we don't let God do his work. We start to look for things to fill that emptiness. And it's not material things. It's living is what it is. And that in itself is a rather simple and yet very profound statement. It's living. And it's being alive through the breath, pneuma, one breath, one spirit, one God. It's that constant relationship with God through breath and life. And it's living. It's living in the moment. It's appreciating the moment in its fullness. It's not trying to fill the moment with somebody else. It's just living. And when you get there, and I will tell you, I love being there. Everything is perfect. Everything is as it should be. Everything is calm. And nothing else outside of the world that you're in right there really matters. It really doesn't. The news goes away. The headlines go away. The crises go away. There's no party. You're not celebrating. You're just living. And in that perfect balance of living with God and through his breath and life, it is truly the deepest part of existence I think we can have, which is the unity between us and all that God created in a true power of what true agape love is. And it's there that we find the greatest calm and the greatest meaning of where we are. I'm going to close with just kind of a theory of mine, and I've rolled this over so many times. And I sometimes feel, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but it's an interesting perspective nonetheless. I think I'm more right on this than I am wrong. If we all just stopped right now, literally just shut the internet off, shut the TVs off, stopped, put a full stop for 2 or 3 days. We didn't go to work. We didn't fill our car with gas. We didn't go for a drive. We didn't do anything. We just all sat and just sat quiet with God, not even having to pray. That's another aspect, but just sit quiet with God. In 2 days' time, I truly believe that the world would never go back to this nonsense we're in. And I truly believe that the world would reset in a pathway we can't even imagine how beautiful it would be. Because all we would be doing is listening. And all we would be doing is being. And all we would be doing is sitting quiet to be with God. That part of existence, of just being, is one of the hardest disciplines I think people have to learn. And once we are still in the world, as we should be at times, everything else falls away. Everything else falls away. It's something worth considering, because I don't think any of this that we're around us right now even has any meaning, purpose, or can it continue to exist if we simply stop and shut it off. I think it just all goes away by itself. Because I think that part of the problem is that we're constantly trying to feed that emptiness. And that emptiness is ultimately fear and anxiety. And as we try to feed it, the beast that we're fighting really is us, not them. It's the emptiness in us that only one thing can fix. And that's our love of Christ, our acceptance of Christ in our heart, and through Christ to the Father. It is truly peace. Be still. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are in a very unique time in our existence where we can truly begin to see and hear greater things in ourselves. We're in a place where we're feeling those empty places within us. And if we truly listen, Lord, we know that there's only one way to fill them. There's only one way that they can be touched, and that's through our love and acceptance of Christ in our heart and through Christ to you, Father. Lord, as we humble ourselves before us this evening, we pray for healing in the depths of the heart. We pray for healing to mend the empty wounds that sit within. We pray for healing of those gaps that have occurred by the loss of loved ones around us, partners, husbands, friends, wives. We pray for the healing that's occurred because of the loss of friends, even companions like dogs and cats. We pray for that healing to happen with the embracement of Christ within our soul and within our hearts in such a way that we can feel that the fullness comes only through Christ and through Christ to you, Father. Let us find those places where we are trying to seek to fill with the material and corporal relationships of this world, and let us let the love of Christ flow in. Let us let the love of Christ heal like nothing else can heal. And let us be fulfilled. Let us be whole again, Father, in this moment, in this time, and all days going forward. Let us breathe in and breathe out as one. And in so doing, let us truly walk with the relationship with you as a true love of you, an agape, unwavering, unhindered, as we walk forward in this fight, to let it go, to embrace the glory of this world and to celebrate the love that you give us and to rise above it as healed and in love truly with you only, Father. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting path we all walk, and we all are walking it. And we're all trying to find that deeper relationship with God. Let us reflect carefully as we do that, that sometimes it's right before us. All we have to do is let go. Letting go of the past is some of the hardest things. In August of 2017, when a U.S. Marshal came to my hotel room door and informed me that I was going to be going to jail, and I was held there for 20 days without charge, I will tell you that that moment in time felt like my life had ended. When that door slammed shut in the jail and you felt like everything was over. And in that moment where everything seemed lost, deep in the night, when I seriously considered taking my life and ending it, I was reminded that the only thing I was still clinging on to was my own vanity. And God was right there with me the whole time. And in that moment, finally, the last vestiges of the emptiness of my heart fell. And within it came one of the most powerful relationships one can ever have. And it was the love of Christ that filled and healed and opened my eyes to the glories of what was ahead. That nothing, no weapon forged against me could ever succeed. That nothing could stop me. And nothing could take me out of the way other than God himself calling me home. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in to the fight. God is with us at all times, and prayer binds us with him. God will never forsake us, and God will always win. Let us be there with him, walking with a full heart and love of him in all things. Have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly.
sets down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.